Welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. My name's Chris Bartlett.
And I'm Matt Rice, and we're a couple of Catholic dads trying to do the best we can and share whatever wisdom and knowledge we have with other Catholic dads to help them be the dads called God. Whoa. God has called them to be.
The best you can be. Join the dad army. Hey, we believe that Catholic fatherhood can change the world, and there's a desperate need for Catholic fatherhood in the world today. We are in the midst of our series, Catholic Dads React.
And are we? Is it react or respond? Because we debate this every single time. React or respond?
I like reacting. I'm reactionary. You might be like more like, okay, that's very interesting.
I think anybody that's listening to us for any amount of time knows that I'm reactionary and you respond. Like you plan and you think and before you say a word, and I just start blurting crap out. And the intro is like one example of that.
Yeah. Follow the script. Yeah. Say the black, do the red. Hey, guys. We are going to dive into Turning Red, Disney Pixar's most recent film about menstruation.
I was wondering how long into this episode we were going to get before you start talking about menses.
Two seconds, you guys. And it's not awkward. It's just always uncomfortable. The whole thing is a metaphor, right? And there's a scene in there where she's literally hiding in a shower and her mom thinks that she's just like, I don't know, about to pass out from blood loss. And it's kind of a fun interplay. But like, I'm glad that my 7-year-old boy wasn't sitting there being like, hey, dad, I don't understand. I don't get this. So let's just start by acknowledging that that Turning Red is about the coming of age of an adolescent girl. And that is different than most Pixar movies that are mostly about kids playing with toys or being kids or traveling with old men up in balloons.
Yeah, it's so funny because I think I caught some of those subtleties when I watched it. I think I may have seen it, you know, 2 times or something like that. And I was like, oh, that's funny that they made, you know, kind of a connection to that. But I like until now, to be honest, I hadn't thought about the whole movie being all about that. And I'm still like, I think I'm still honestly wrestling with it. Like at the core message, is that what it was about? You know, do you think that's what the core of it was all about?
Okay. So I think the lasting impression was, and it started out with her inner thought talking about like, hi, my name's Maya. Which one was it?
It doesn't really matter. Move on.
May. It's neither. It was May. M-E-I. May. Hi, my name's May and blah, blah, blah. Family is great. You've been told your whole life to respect your family. Something like that. But what about like respecting yourself? Like I'm going to start moving away from my family and respecting myself. And this independence at the expense of family was the lasting impression that I got.
Yeah.
Even at the very end where they're like, finally embrace your panda, blah, 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 blah. And all the women turn into pandas to help her embrace her panda. And then they all turn back and reject the panda again, leaving her as the only one that's like still a panda.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if that wasn't isolating and a lasting thing of like, if you want to be independent, if you want to be who you really are, you need to feel isolation from your parents.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I got from it, you know, was, you know, I don't know. Be whoever you feel like you should be, regardless of what the adults in your life, advise you, you know? Right. That was the one that I didn't like and what I felt like was really the, you know, overarching kind of theme. I think the connection to coming into womanhood or whatever was there. But I almost think that was kind of more of an aside, you know, and maybe it might have been a, you know, sort of a like meant to be a signal to young women that this is when you abandon your family is when you start going through puberty. This is the time when you separate yourself from your family.
Right.
You know, and that may have been the whole reason in my mind that they brought that aspect into it. Because it really, like when I think about like the mothers that I know who have daughters who are going through puberty and starting to have their first cycles, I've never seen a mother chastises a child, you know, or their kid for that, you know, or be like, even in the movie, the mother was caring around that, you know, with regards to that specific thing. But the way that they dealt with the panda thing, that's where I see the huge departure from the natural cycle, you know, of a woman. Like, that's where I see that theme completely disconnect. Does that make sense? I see a connection there, but I think it completely disconnects at that point.
So before people think we're just taking a massive dump on Turning Red, I want to be clear that I think that the fact that a movie addressed this issue, which is mostly seen as a taboo issue of menstruation and kind of girls coming into to their age or going through puberty or whatever, I'm glad that they tried to tackle it. Do I think they tackle it perfectly? No.
Yeah.
In fact, I think some of the ways that the mother reacted or the parents reacted to that whole scene, they were frantic. You know, she was shuffling through maxi pads and stuff like that, and she was running to school. You forgot your pads. Like, totally, totally, like, making it like, this is something to be embarrassed about. This is something shameful. This is something you should keep secret from other people, as opposed to actually a celebration of the gift of fertility. So as I was reflecting for today, I was like, what would Christopher West have said? It's like, the sacramental worldview is lost in the midst of Turning Red because they view the body instead of a gateway for God's love to be made known as something shameful, you know, or whatever. Yeah. I think that that was a horrible Christopher, if you were watching, I apologize. But I do want to acknowledge that I think there was something about the body that was ultimately shamed instead of celebrated. And I felt like that was a missed moment because I felt like they at least got into the conversation in a way that was navigatable, right?
Yeah. So, like, and I have no idea how many people here, like, that are watching have actually seen the movie. Just as a, like, quick 2-minute recap, I think Chris and I have already kind of done that, you know, is you have a young woman who is about the age, you know, where we would guess, where she starts starting to go through puberty, starting to menstruate and whatnot. And so, but then this is also the age in this, in the Chinese culture that she's being raised in, when her family have this magical power, where this power starts to come to life, and they have this power to become a giant red panda, right? And
specifically red panda.
Which is where, you know, some of the funny connections come. And so in the movie, the mom mistakes what's going on with the girl for menstruation, and the girl's actually becoming a panda. And I don't know why the mom is missing this, because the mom went through this whole panda thing too. And it's just stupid how, like, how the mom wouldn't think about that, whatever. But then, you know, the girl's hiding it from her mom for so long. And then when her mom finds out, she says, you can't use it. The girl disobeys her mom. And then all of the clan of women have to come together because the mom loses control of her panda. And all the women in the family have to come together to fight the mom, who has become this big, massive monster. That's the one.
Right after the ceremony that was supposed to take away the panda from the girl. Yes. And the girl's like, I want to keep my panda and I want to go see the boy band Four Town. Yeah. Four Town. Yeah.
And then all the women in the family basically defeat the mom, you know, and then the mom gets back into her normal self. And then all the women, except for the little girl, give up their panda and
reject their panda
and go on. One of the themes, and so that's really like a really quick overview of the movie. I liked, you know, all of the, you know, there were a lot of funny jokes and like stuff like that. There were elements of it that I really enjoyed, but like I don't like the, one of the things that I mentioned in that little summary was that the mom is a bad person throughout the whole movie. Like, the mom is the bad person. She's emasculating her husband, you know, throughout the whole movie. She's the enemy of her daughter, holding her daughter back the whole time. And when she transforms, she becomes the biggest, worst monster out of all the women in the family. And my wife was really offended at that, you know, and the other women that I know have that have seen it have been really offended at that. It's like, this really just like drives a wedge between mothers and their daughters. Yeah. And that's not good. But
yeah, and so, and that lasting image at the end, because they had to walk through a portal in order to say, I'm rejecting my panda. And the lasting image at the end where the mother walks through and then looks through from the other side and says, if you're something along the lines of, if you're not going to walk through, that's okay. Go as far as you want to go, and that'll make me proud. But there was like a literal separation, like a goodbye. Like I'm saying goodbye, but I'm going to enjoy hearing about how you've done good things. Like it would, it literally broke my heart. Yeah.
Yeah. So as far as redeeming qualities of the film, because I know, like you said, we've kind of dumped on it, you know, up to this point, you know, redeeming qualities. I think there is an element of like, and this, these may be stretches. I don't know. The friendships that the girl has with her friends and how loyal they are to her, you know, except for when she kind of completely, you know, pushes them away. But they are very loyal to her. And I liked that aspect of it. It seemed like they had a really good group of friends.
I think that the teen culture or kind of adolescent type of thing, like, you know, I have daughters right around that age, and them getting giggles and just laughing about stupid stuff or getting really overexcited about Four Town or about whatever their thing is, right? I thought that was a really good portrayal. Also, the tension and how hard it is to be in middle school. Like, that's tough. Yeah. And I felt like they captured that very well. Another movie that I thought actually did a little bit better was Ron's Gone Wrong, which was about a boy who wanted a robot or whatever. But nevertheless, the thing that I was I struggled with about that is that whereas my children see the family as a part of kind of their support system, these kiddos recognize that skirting, lying, or kind of disobeying in order to get what they wanted or what they wanted to do was kind of the better path that they chose. I struggled with that.
Yeah. So like the friendships were really good. Like the bond or whatever that the friends had with each other was really good, willing to do anything for each other.
Right.
But the bad thing is they would even lie and cheat and do bad things in order to get what they want, you know?
Yeah. And adolescent, teenagers or whatever, doing things against their parents' wishes, like, duh. Yeah. Like that's a given. Yeah. But you're right. When some of the social situations at school happened, they stood by each other, and that was really cool.
Yeah. So another redeeming quality, you know, which is kind of fun, is like initiative and entrepreneurship.
I'm so glad you said that. I loved it. Yes.
That was amazing. They were like, they took something, a gift that they had, and they were like, hey, we can make a lot of money doing this. You know, and I love that, you know, that creativity. And you see that creativity on YouTube all the time with young people.
Yes.
Doing really cool things with the gifts that they've been given, you know, whether it's video games or other skills that they have, art, you know, different, I don't know, like building stuff, making things.
Gen Z is a generation of creators.
Oh, yeah.
And as parents, we need to know that and recognize that so that we can journey with our young ones as they create and figure out what it means. Because not every creation is worthy of sticking on the fridge, you know what I mean? But every creation is worthy of us kind of tell me more about this, or what does this mean, or what does this symbolize, or whatever. And yeah, I thought that was really neat because it wasn't just the panda, but they came up with a couple of different ways to utilize the panda in order to make some money. And they had to make flyers and merch and different, there was all sorts of creator or creation type of stuff that I thought really captured aspects of Gen Z, this newest generation.
Yeah. And I know as a dad, you know, sometimes I don't know if it's because of my laziness or I don't know, negativity or whatever, but there have been times when I've absolutely squashed that, you know, in my mm-hmm. kids, you know, even in one of my daughters, you know, it was a couple of years ago, I forget what it was, but you know, she wanted to put up a, you know, lemonade stand, you know, and I was like, honey, let's sit down and let's look at this. You know, how much money
you mathed her right out of it. I remember you telling me this story. Yeah.
So I just like took all the math and I was like, so you're just going to lose money. Don't do it.
Okay, Dad. So, thanks for the sage advice.
Thanks for being so supportive, you know? And so that was like a dad fail. Like we talk about that ever so often, you know, that was definitely a dad fail, you know? So when your daughters, you know, when your kids have ideas like that, it may be better to not do what I did and just completely squash it. Even if you don't really want to mess with doing it because you know it's going to lose money, You want to encourage that kind of creativity, that kind of initiative, you know, and that entrepreneurship, you know, in your kids.
And the lesson learned from the money lost is worth the expense, depending on how much, you know, because you pay for education in college, you pay for education in a number of different ways, and failure and losing money is another way to pay for education.
Well, yeah, and you may not even communicate to your child that they lost money, but you are investing that money in them learning this whole right. business process.
Right.
You know, and again, like you said, it's an investment in their learning. And how many different areas of their life do we do that?
Yeah.
Stupid to fight the $20 it would have cost to make lemonade.
So we are now in a rabbit hole, just to be clear.
I mean, it's connected to the movie. It's connected to the movie.
This was like a 12-minute piece of the movie, and we're like, oh, guys, this part. Fast forward, it's 45 minutes in. Yeah, one thing that really was unsettling for me.
Hey, we're still on redemption.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
We can go redemption. Back to unsettling later.
Keep going. If there's more, because I'm like, I'm tapped out. Like,
there was definitely more. Oh, Chris, come on. You had to have one.
Okay, yes. I thought that the animation, I know this is stupid, but the animation was outstanding.
Yeah.
And this is Pixar, but I'm telling you, in one of the opening scenes, they had the dad cooking on a wok.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is some of the most beautiful animation I have ever seen.
The way
seen.
They showed his glasses and everything like that.
It was amazing. Yeah. And again, we expect that out of Disney. We also expect, go ahead.
No, go. It was kind of on the same note, but.
Yeah. Anyway, the animation was phenomenal.
So you mentioned dad cooking, you know, and that's another thing that so there are some times when they break the gender stereotypes that I don't like. But I like that dad was cooking. Like, there's nothing wrong with dad cooking, but that is a societal norm, you know, in America, that dads don't typically cook,
right.
You know, and it was seen as dad's cooking is the best. Like, yes. They look forward to dad's cooking,
yep.
You know, and so that was something that I really enjoyed, you know, that kind of is starting, like, trying to break down that stigma that dads don't cook.
Right. Can I
come on, Chris? Do you not have any redemptive like things from this? We've like as Catholic dads, we've got to be able to find the good in everything out in the world.
Yes, like I said, it brought up the conversation of Menzies. I thought that was excellent, right? And I think that it actually this movie. So I'm gonna fast forward to the end. My commentary is this: I do not believe that this movie is for kids under the age of 10. I think it's excellent if you watch it with your son or daughter and have dialogue about it. I think people over the age of 15 are going to get it. But during that key time of transitional adolescence, like this brings up some interesting points and interesting conversations that need to be had and navigated. And so it's not that hard to watch a film with someone who's like 11 or 12 and be like, hey, they disobeyed their parents in this regard. How do you feel about that? Oh, yeah, I know some kids at school that would do that. Well, how do you feel about it? What are our expectations? And kind of talk about that. Also, like they seem real embarrassed about their cycle. How do you feel about it? And it's like, this is really awkward, Dad. Please stop talking to me. But like it brings up the dialogue, which I think the dialogue needs to be had. And so I think that it wasn't a perfect on-ramp into that, but no one else has really ever attempted it.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they breached a new kind of element or a new conversation or dialogue, I thought that was great.
Yeah. Well, and that just like tells me is if Disney is willing to venture into that conversation with a movie like this.
With your children.
Then why the hell aren't you?
Yes.
Like mom and dad, like, because that's one of those things that as parents, we're so afraid to talk to our kids about sex, about puberty, about all the changes they're going through, because it's a little awkward, you know? But if a massive corporation will do that, then by God, you should be too.
Yeah.
You know?
And I did see some reactions on both sides. Some parents are like, don't show this to your kids. It's the devil. You know, she's one person said she's writing in her notebook, drawing a picture of this boy she has a crush on. And she goes and hides under her bed and gets excited and she has an orgasm. And I'm like, she did not. That did not happen. But someone interpreted that way. And I'm like, holy cow. You know what I mean? And so
people look for all kinds of crap and they see it everywhere.
Wow. The other piece was it felt like when they were lifting the panda out of her in that little kind of thing, that there was it felt like a seance, or it looked like a seance, right?
Yeah.
And I just want to push back, and I want to say that actually I disagree. It didn't. There's a number of transformative moments in Disney movies and in film and things like that that depict ritual. And because you're not there to actually experience kind of like you would at a liturgy or something like that, that they have to add in animation in order to make that kind of feel like this is something supernatural. And so it did depict something supernatural. And yes, a seance seeks the supernatural as well or whatever. But I thought it was culturally appropriate in a Disney way to portray that. And we've seen that in other movies that we didn't freak out about. Even Frozen has moments where it's like the magical powers are coming and all the toads or whatever. Anyways, well, let's dive into other movies.
On that note, and this may be an interesting whatever, but if we were to depict, you know, that moment when Christ, you know, comes into the body and blood, you know, on the altar.
Transubstantiation.
Yeah, I know. I was not going to use that word because not everybody knows that word. we're talking about our audience here, buddy. When
now they know the word.
Yay. So anyway, if we were to depict that, you know, in animation, my guess is we would use some visual, you know, to depict that.
Yeah.
You know, and that doesn't mean it's a seance, you know, or anything
exactly.
that, you know.
Well, so. And to go on that, it was actually neat to see a Disney film where the family was deeply spiritual.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was a different spirituality culture.
Look at you, you did it. You found something redemptive.
And at the very end, they were able to showcase that spirituality together using the Red Panda.
Yeah.
And so there was kind of a neat arc in regards to that aspect. So, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You acted like you had another poo-poo party for it.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you already do
it? Yes. Can I tell you? Because I think it is on brand for what we're talking
about.
Okay,
cool. Let's go.
One of my most frustrating pieces was the way that the father was portrayed.
Okay. Yes. Like one of the good things was that he was cooking. The bad thing was he was weak.
Everything else.
Yeah.
And so he was belittled by his wife.
Yep.
He saw his daughter. Like throughout the movie, there were moments where his wife mistreated his daughter, and he stood there, and you could see both in some of the sentences that got cut off, that he wanted to actually reach out and show care for his daughter, but he couldn't. He felt like he couldn't.
Yep.
And then there was one moment where his mother-in-law barked something at him. He was making a point and trying to stand up and be a man, and his mother-in-law barked something at him, clean up the dishes. And he just like, meh, and he went and cleaned up the dishes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
that was super frustrating.
I was like, yeah, like with be a man, like Catholic dads, let's just make sure no one's around for this. But like, if you haven't had a run-in with your mother-in-law, I don't know if you're dadding enough. Like, I'm serious. Like, it is a challenge. And we all love our mother-in-laws. I'll say that later. We love our mother-in-laws.
Yes, we do.
But there are times where we need to own the fact that we are an independent family unit from sometimes our own parents, right? Or our spouse's family.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
And
that's not a once and done thing. You know, that happens throughout your life.
There's moments where it's healthy to reinforce
the
I am the head of the household, and my wife has the biggest opinion, and then everyone else is way down on the list. But thank you for your advice. It's like, I was telling you to do something. It wasn't advice. I'm like, I'm going to take it as advice. So neither here nor there. I love you, Debbie. I love you, Dorothy. Okay, moving on. Then when they finally get to the moment where the dad gets to have that conversation with the girl, she's crying, sitting at the foot of their bed, and the dad sits down next to her on the foot of the bed. Awesome. Not here, sweetheart. Come sit up with me. He entered into her world. That was great.
Yep.
And then he says something about like, well, I feel like the panda is, she says, I feel like the panda is just evil or bad. And I want to get rid of it. And he's like, no, we need to make room for bad in our life and figure out how to balance the good and the bad. And he essentially just completely shoots it down, because that panda could have definitely been seen as a gift. Again, the panda is an analogy for menses. And so now we have to say that menstruation is bad, right? Which triggered me, Matt. I'm sitting there thinking that everyone going through there is like, birth control is the answer because it can control your period. Like the birth control pill can control your panda. And I don't think that that was the big allegory they were trying to create. But there was part of me that's like, we need to actually celebrate and embrace the fact that our daughters can bear life. Like that's a gift. Yeah.
So at that point, I might argue that the panda at that point in the movie is not representative of the cycle.
Sure.
You know, and so I don't know if I would make that connection, but I do think, I don't remember that scene or that, like him talking about it as bad, but like so in that scene, he acknowledged and said that the panda is bad.
It was something along those lines. Yes.
Huh. Yeah. I might have to should have rewatched that scene before this or whatever. Cause I don't remember hearing that. But I am glad, like you said, it's awesome that the dad sat down and had the conversation.
Here it is. I found it. It said, the point isn't to push the bad stuff away. It's to make room for it, to live with it.
Huh.
And that is a challenge. That's a challenging conversation because if we have said too much media or gossip or pornography is a bad thing, we do not make room for it. We push it the heck away.
Yeah.
And a father should seek to protect. Like that's one of his roles. And in that moment and in that quote, he was not being a protector.
I don't know.
Empowering the daughter to be able to fight or know that there's bad that exists in the world, like that's a different conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think live with it. Yeah, I don't think you don't make room for it. You don't live with it, right? You seek to transform it.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand, like, it not is there a way to understand the bad, like what they mean by bad in that scene, in a way that kind of redeems it, you know? But how do they mean it, you know, in that way? Because there's two different things. Because, like, I mean, Jesus said, "You will always have the poor with you," right? And that's technically a bad, right? Not poor people, but poor, like poverty is a bad thing.
Right.
You know, and so the actual potential that this side of heaven, we're going to be able to eliminate poverty is probably low, probably never, you know? And I don't know if that's a pessimistic view or a realistic view.
Sure.
You know, so there's,
I mean, even Jesus said we'll always have the poor. So if Jesus doesn't believe it'll happen, I'm with you on this one. Yeah.
So if that's the case, then in a certain sense, we have to make room for that. You know, we have to make room for that reality existing in our world and live with that. You know, now that's a different way of looking at bad, I think, than the way they intended.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely not a Christian way because poor people are not bad.
No, poverty. I'm talking about poverty.
Poverty itself. Okay.
So poverty is bad. Like, right? Maybe not. I don't know. But that we have to make room for the existence of poverty in our lives. You know? And to be honest, we have to make room for the existence of evil in our lives. Like this side of heaven, evil is always going to exist.
Right.
You know? So like that, like we have to make room for that to exist in our lives. And how do we live our life?
Let me give you the whole quote just so people have all kinds of sides to them. Some sides are messy. The point isn't to push the bad stuff away. It's to make room for it. Live with it. So now you're saying we have to make room for an evil side. All of us have. It's like the yin and the yang.
No, I'm just trying to see if there was a way to take it in a good way, but there's not.
Yeah.
You know, I tried. Hey, I mean, it was worth a shot.
Bravo. No, and I think that's a good dialogue to have with our children. You know, I mean, because again, what if your kids watch something that they shouldn't have? Like, okay, your kids are going to watch something that they shouldn't have. Now, how do we navigate this? Is this movie something your kids shouldn't watch? I don't know. I think that that's up to you as a parent. But if they do watch it, either you need to watch it first or you need to watch it with them so that you can help navigate these conversations, because that quote is a very unsettling quote, in my opinion, right? That piece of it. And there were other things in regards to rebellion and things like that exist in almost every coming-of-age teenage movie. And the point isn't that, oh my gosh, I have to protect my kid from seeing Turning Red for the rest of their life. Like, they're going to be exposed to media. I want to raise my kids to be able to process media. And I think Turning Red can be processed in a way that leads to a lot of great dialogue and things like that. But it does need to, the PG, parent guidance, Like, that's part of what really stands out, is it's definitely PG, which is most Pixar movies we're used to it being G.
Yeah.
Just turn it on and then go finish the dishes or go mow the yard. Like, we, you know, you cannot let your kids be babysat by this movie like many other Disney movies.
I just had like another thought on the whole bad comment. You know, you've said this multiple times, and I don't know if it was in this podcast or this channel or in another one, but one way that it may help dialogue with the parents in this is, you know, each one of us, regardless of our stage of life, is going to have something that we struggle with, you know, and it may be a sin, it may be a temptation, it may be something that is not good, you know, it's a bad that exists in our life. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make us bad.
Right.
You know, and that's that may be the point, or what one thing that a parent can do to draw out of this is, just because there is, you know, there may be a badness or, you know, or a temptation that you have or whatever, a struggle that you have, it doesn't mean that you are bad.
And I have had to unpack that with my son over and over again.
Yeah.
Son, you made a bad choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's crying, no, I'm a bad boy. Yep. I'm like, you are not a bad boy. You are good.
My Isaac says the same crap, dude. Like, have you made any headway with that?
No. Well, I mean, I just keep saying it. And then, of course, then they're rejecting me because they're frustrated and they want to be isolated because they don't know how to process it, right? It's a whole thing of parenthood that you're just like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then a couple of years later, just to be clear, I still don't know what I'm doing. And so to answer your question, no, I just try and be consistent, because I don't think that my goal isn't for them to know now. My goal is for them to be taught now and to know later, right?
Yeah.
And so, which is why processing things with them are teaching moments.
Yeah. Cool.
And turning red is a big teaching moment.
It is. There's a whole lot to unpack and to dive into. And I would say, you know, I mean, probably primarily for daughters, but not exclusively. I think there's plenty of moments in there, you know, that you can have conversations with your sons. You know, like, one is like the role of between the mother and child, like having conversations about that. You know, your mom loves you, doesn't she? She'd do anything for you. Different things like that versus what you're shown in the movie. The role of the father, you know, hey, is that how, you know, a dad who's a protector should act? You know, those kinds of conversations with your son. And then even like depending on the age of the kid, you can start talking about puberty and different things like that. Even though, like, I think it would have to be at a much older age for a young man to recognize that that's connected in this movie. I don't think
but for a female, it's like,
the girls will know. The girls will know. The boys will be like, what's a tampon?
Yeah, really, the boys are going to watch the movie, and for the first 30 minutes, they're going to be like, where the hell's the panda? Yeah. just get to the panda part. I'm so bored right now, right? So, as we close up, just a couple of quick things. There is a drug reference. You don't wear sunblock and do drugs all day. There's a couple of moments where the teenage girl is over-sexualized and things like that. I don't think 13-year-olds should really be thinking about that type of thing with boys, at least not a cartoon, you know what I mean? But with all that being said, in the middle school that any child goes to, right, these things are being talked about. Yeah. These things are being, you know, and there is a set of middle school students that are experimenting with these type of things.
Oh, yeah.
And so the fact that it's on a show gives you permission to talk about it a lot easier than being like, your friends, there's people at school that are talking about this. Now we have some dialogue. And so it might give you common language again, or it might not be time to be able, but I don't know if your second grader is going to school and being like, hey, you know, we should have crushes on each other or talk about drug usage. Or, well,
and that's
like
the
that.
Benefit of co-watching shows with your kids.
Yeah.
You know, is it provides for natural, you know, pause and ask them what's going on, or, you know, just let them know, hey, like, beforehand, I'm going to make a few notes probably with this movie about things that I want to make sure and talk to you about, or whatever, just because you're not messing up the whole flow of the movie. Every 10 seconds pausing it, you know?
Yeah.
But co-watching stuff with your kids and talking to your kids and about them with stuff like this gives you unique opportunities to discuss things that as a parent you should be discussing.
Right. And to be fair, if you're like, I don't want my kid going near Red Panda, they have friends that have already talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
So why don't you talk about it with them as well?
Yeah.
I'm not saying watch it with them, but at least talk about it with them or whatever. So, you guys, we love doing this, like absolutely love doing the Catholic Dads React / Respond to. We've hit on a lot of things culturally and things like that. We want to know what you want to hear from us next.
Yeah.
And so if there's a cultural aspect or a piece that is like, I want you guys to respond to inflation. It's like, okay. Man, whatever it is.
I had a couple of really good ideas come to mind when I woke up this morning. I need to keep a notepad next to my bed, man. But we've got a whole list of things, you know, that we want to talk about, and we will just keep going down that rabbit hole, keep diving on stuff that we want to talk about. But we want to make sure we're covering stuff you want to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. So, hey, we want to journey with you. One of the best ways that we can journey with you is through The Village. And so The Village is an online community set for parents, both husbands and wives, parents seeking to raise saints. How would someone join The Village, Matt?
They would hop onto ablaze.us/thevillage, and then excellent. They can join The Village through there.
Awesome. Matt, any other closing thoughts?
I don't think so. We want to make sure that you guys subscribe, like, and even if you want to dislike this in this episode, I don't care. You know, as long as there's something on there, you know, I really think people should see this, and whether or not you agree or disagree with me, like with what we say, you probably think people should see this and comment on it. You know, whether it's in the positive or the negative, go for it.
Guys, like on YouTube, we can actually get more pushed or whatever once we hit 1,000 subscribers, and we're so close to being 1/10 of the way there. We're so close. So please subscribe, share this with someone, say it's a great channel to follow, and then go to confession if you don't believe that that's true. But please just tell them and join us on this journey, because we know that there is a poverty out there for different ways that Catholic dads are supported in their fatherhood and in their role as Catholics.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
God bless you.